The scripture reading today is taken from John 10, verses, help me out,
22
to 30. And I don't know what page it's on in your Bible, because I read from the King James
Version,
104. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
I would like to begin today's message with a poem which I have borrowed from a book titled Patchwork of Love, Creating Friendships Piece by Piece by Heather Harpham Kopp. The poem is written by Elizabeth Ryan DeCourcy, and this book has been a treasure and a part of my collection of good things to keep since June 1998. When it was given to me by a dear friend. The poem goes as follows. Life is like a patchwork quilt, and each little patch is a day. Some patches are rosy, happy, and bright, and some are dark and gray. But each little patch, as it's fitted in, and sewn to keep it together, makes a finished block in this life of ours, filled with sun and rainy weather. So let me work on life's patchwork quilt, through rainy days and the sun, trusting that when I have finished my block, the master may say, well done. May we feel God's love as we stitch and share our message this morning. Quilters are a very special breed of both men and women. Reasons for making quilts can vary. A quilt can welcome a baby, be a wedding gift, a birthday gift, commemorate an anniversary, celebrate a retirement, or be made just because. Quilt patterns can be very simple or very complicated. A quilting project can be small, a little change purse, pot holder, or it can be large, a king-size bed quilt. You can purchase a kit with all of the fabrics selected, or you can choose your own fabrics. Also, beautiful quilts can be made from pieces of clothing, such as aprons, shirts, t-shirts, dresses, etc. Whatever the choice, the process is the same. Prepare the fabric, cut the fabric, piece the quilt top, prepare the backing fabric, sandwich the quilt, top, batting, backing, and then have the fabrics either hand-stitched or machine-stitched together. And I'm just going to... This is very, very simple, and just a simple top, batting, backing. Doesn't matter how complicated the quilt, that is the procedure. And then you have it either hand-stitched or machine-stitched. I have my quilts machine-stitched by Susan Hanneline at Cottonseed Quilting in Avoca. When she returns a quilt, I trim it and then machine sew a piece of backing, a piece of binding to the quilt, and then I hand stitch the binding to the back of the quilt. The last step for any quilt that I make is to sew a heart in the bottom right-hand corner of the quilt. That is my trademark. In 2005, on Gaylor's 70th birthday, he received a box of fabric. It contained 12 pieces, like this, of fabric with an outdoor theme, and in addition, there was 4 yards of backing fabric, 2/3 of a yard of binding fabric, and the note that said I would be making him his own snuggly, bugly quilt, and that it would be stitched with love, and that it was a gift from my heart. Well, he did get it, and I had to take each of these pieces, cut them into strips, and then I needed 140 pieces of fabric to put his quilt together. I needed 10 blocks going across and 14 rows. So I got everything done. I didn't want two fabrics alike or anything like that. And I got it all done and realized that the fabric with the fish was upside down and the fabric with the cabins was upside down. So I had to go all the way back and take everything apart because that just bothered my whole brain. It is. I know. I just have to say that this is the quilt almost 11 years later, and I know he's going to say a few words about it later, so I don't want to steal his thunder.
He's making me.
But quilters take large pieces of fabric, cut it into small pieces, and then sew it all back together again. Many hours of work and stitches of love make a quilt. Now, just as an aside, last year, our 2015 church quilt took 17¾ yards of fabric. That is a lot of fabric, folks. I'm giving you just a little bit of inside information about the 2016 quilt. I know we need 32 background squares. Each square has 23 strips of fabric, and they were cut between 1.5 inches and 12.5 inches in length for a total of 736 strips of fabric. More information will be forthcoming soon.
so as not to be outdone by Bill Howells, little Sally went to Sunday school one day, and her dad would always ask her what the main Bible verse was for the day. And she would always tell him sometimes it would make sense and sometimes it wouldn't, but that's the way four-year-olds are. So they came home from church and sat down for dinner, and her dad said to her, "Sally, what was the Sunday school verse for today?" She thought for a minute and she said, "Don't be scared, your blanket's on its way." And he said, "What?" And she said, "Don't be scared, your blanket's on its way." Well, he knew better than to question her. So a little bit later on, the minister came by for a cup of tea, and he said to the minister, "What was the Sunday school Bible verse today?" And the minister said, "Fear not, your comforter cometh." I'm going to talk today mostly about the log cabin pattern, because that's the one about which I know the most and I'm most familiar. A lot of my quilts are log cabins, but they're all very different for a number of reasons. This is a square from the 2014 church quilt. This was my favorite. I wanted to win this so bad. Anyway, I had done some squares, and then Ann told me she had enough, so I just kept them. And I thought I'd one day make pillows out of them, and these would be the cases, but I haven't done it yet. You can tell a lot about log cabin, and this is a very easy log cabin, by just looking at it. You can notice that there is a center square, and then there's a dark side and a light side. Now, historical quilts will always use either red or yellow for the center square. And that is because that is reminiscent of the hearth of the home. So everything else revolves around the hearth of the home. That's the heart. Okay, and then the light pieces are significant of the good things that happen in our lives. The marriages, the babies born, the birthdays, and so forth. And the darks are representative of the things we would rather not be aware of. Death, pestilence, bad crops, bad weather, all of that. So the original historical log cabin actually told a story. Okay, this is one square. Then I put four together. Notice the pattern. All of the lights are facing in, right? Okay. Is this one the same?
No.
What's the only difference? Yep, this one is called all sevens because you can see seven, seven. It's just the name of the pattern, okay? I don't know what the name of this one is. All the whites are pointing out. And then in this one, these two are pointed out and these two are pointed in. Just really a myriad of possibilities from the same squares. Now, last year our quilt was called Beads, You remember it had teal and orange and, oh, it was just breathtaking. But it wasn't breathtaking until it all went together because the beads were all surrounded with white. And it just, oh, I wanted to win that one too, but I didn't. One of these days. Care must be taken with every single step of making a quilt. Preparing the fabric, as Karen mentioned, measuring, cutting, and pressing. And I always try to keep in mind not to have to say it's too short, it's too short. And the more I cut it, the shorter it gets. Now, I'm going to pass these around because I think you'll be surprised to see. The back. Just look at the back.
No.
Just look at the back and tell me what I've done.
Oh. You've pressed.
And pressed.
Pressed.
And pressed. When you make a quilt, you really need to do it near your ironing board and your iron, because most every single seam needs to be pressed. Why? Because we make one seam go one way and the next seam go the other way, so we don't have a bunch of stuff. Because remember, we're adding another layer of fabric and a layer of backing. In our lives, we cannot determine what our quilt will really look like, because that is what we are looking at, what I told you to look at, the bottom. That's what we see. Only God can see the other side. All we can do is try to live our lives in a way that our work on our own particular quilt will be pleasing in God's sight. The overall arrangement of squares to produce the patterns are depending on the size of the quilt. You can't do everything with all patterns. It depends on the size of the quilt, what you can do. But you see, just by putting them together, by the way you put them together, and it goes on and on. Okay, this quilt is one that I made, and it is a pattern called Field and Furrows. And I thought it turned out really pretty.
It is pretty. But that's a log cabin.
That's a log cabin. Yep. Now, this one. Okay. Some people say, in fact, I was told when I started to quilt, that you never finish your first quilt. Well, not only did I finish mine, I hand quilted it. And this is the only one I will ever hand quilt. Karen, wait a minute. It's a sampler. You see, you could make a whole quilt using this square, or this square, or any of the squares. But I wanted to try a whole bunch of different ones to see which one I liked the best, and I liked them all. Okay, thanks, Karen. No pattern is either right or wrong, better than or not as good as any other. In life, we are all just pieces of fabric looking for a place to fit, a place that works for us and brings us peace. We all journey, work, or figuratively speaking, sew our seams, if you will, toward a common goal, that which would be pleasing in God's sight.
People choose fabrics for various reasons. Some may choose fabrics from their stash, and I might add that some folks in our congregation have phenomenal stashes of fabric and could be called fabricologists. These are persons who have perfected the art of stashing fabrics and are expert accumulators of cloth intended for future use. Fabrics speak to quilters. What one person chooses for a project, another person might discard with nary a second look. However, in the finished quilt, and you can see from all the quilts we've got, that fabrics blend and coordinate to make something beautiful and useful. As a point of reference, only two fabrics were used in this. It was the technique. This is called stack and whack. And I did not make it, I have made it. This was made by Nancy Compton. Just this fabric and a floral fabric with hydrangeas. And each one of these patterns shows like a kaleidoscope. And you can... Each one is different. Think for a moment about our church family. As I said before, we are a patchwork quilt. Each of us is a different fabric, but together we will hopefully blend and make a beautiful quilt, warm, comforting, loving, and caring. Now you have heard the word precise. Every quilter is going to have a quilting mat, and they come in bigger than this, they come smaller than this. I've got more than one. We also need rulers. I've got more than just these two. And you need a rotary cutter. And just a caution, these are designed to cut cloth, not fingers.
That's
all I'm going to say.
One trip to the emergency room.
I might add that regardless of how careful one works and pieces fabric together, there is usually one piece of fabric that has a mind of its own and just isn't quite right. But I have decided that is just the way it is, and it's okay, because life isn't perfect either. I have not mentioned one of the most important tools of any quilter, and that is a seam ripper. Oftentimes, seams have to be ripped out for whatever reason. Misplaced pieces, seams that are too large or small, wrong fabrics put together, you put the fabric together right side against the wrong side, and it's like, ooh, why did I do that? And even the most careful of quilters has to use a seam ripper on occasion, some of us more than others. We are in a transition period for our church. We must each have a seam ripper. Be prepared to admit that some things don't work. Rip them out with a smile as necessary and continue on the path that God has known all along will be best for us. As quilters, we sew a piece of our hearts into each and every quilt we make, just as we as a church family use stitches of caring and compassion with our relationships with each other. As we continue walking along the pathway of life, remember, quilters cut in hope, stitch with grace, quilt with dreams, bind with laughter, and share with love. Also, something else to remember is that if life gives you scraps, you can always make a quilt.
Many quilts are made from squares. Each square can be the same, or they can all be different. But no matter, the plan is for all of the pieces to fit together. When quilting, an almost sublime feeling of peace overtakes me. I generally have no other sound in the house but the whir of my Bernina sewing machine. And the closer I am to the end of a project, the greater the sense of peace which settles upon me. Hopefully, you can take that same sense of peace from today's message. Let us try to build into our relationships the idea that little pieces, like those in a quilt, and like all of us, are equally important. We all strive to be what God wants us to be, and with His loving care, we can all be peacemakers, making peace from pieces. This little story I found on the internet on a site called Promise of God. It does not tell me who wrote it, but it wasn't me. As I faced my Maker at the Last Judgment, I knelt before the Lord along with the other souls, and before each of us laid our lives like the squares of a quilt in many piles. An angel sat before each of us, sewing our quilt squares together into a tapestry that was our life. But as my angel took each piece of cloth off the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares were. Each square was labeled with a part of my life that had been difficult, the challenges and temptations I was faced with in everyday life. I saw hardships that I had endured, which were the largest holes of all. I glanced around me. Nobody else had such squares. Others had a tiny hole here and there. Other tapestries were filled with rich color and the bright hues of worldly fortune. I gazed upon my own life and was really disheartened. My angel was sewing the ragged pieces of cloth together, threadbare and empty, sort of like binding air. Finally, the time came when each life was to be displayed, held up to the light and the scrutiny of truth. The others rose, each in turn, holding up their tapestries, so filled their lives had been. My angel looked upon me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I hadn't had all the earthly fortunes. I had love in my life and laughter, but there had also been trials of illness, death, and false accusations that took me from my world as I knew it. I had had to start over many times. I often struggled with the temptation to quit, only to somehow muster the strength to pick up and begin again. I had spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking for help and guidance in my life. I had often been held up to ridicule, which I had endured painfully, each time offering it up to the Father in hopes that I would not melt within my skin beneath the judgmental gaze of those who unfairly judged me. And now I had to face the truth. My life was what it was, and I had to accept it for what it had been. I rose and slowly lifted the combined squares of my life to the light. An awe-filled gasp filled the air. I gazed around at the others who stared at me with eyes wide. Then I looked upon the tapestry before me. Light flooded through the many holes, creating an image, the face of Christ. Then our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes, and he said, "Every time you gave over your life to me, it became my life, my hardships, my struggles. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through until there was more of me than there was of you. Welcome home, my child."
We realize this is running a little longer than we had planned, but everyone was so gracious in bringing quilts. A trunk show is when a quilter puts several of his or her quilts in a box or a trunk and sends the collection to a quilt shop for display. Well, the Big Flats Presbyterian Church trunk show will feature some of our favorite quilts. And I would just like to say a special thank you to everyone for sharing a piece of yourself with this show. Now, we're going to have some logistic issues. We want everyone to hear what people have to say. So Gaylor is going to come around, and hopefully I will be at the right place as he's with you, because I'd like to hold the quilts up so that you can see them. I'm just going to say, in case you were wondering, yes, I did make this jacket. It was fabric that was part of my stash and a part of my life, and it is called a memory jacket. And my godson's little boy had something pokey little puppy. Most people can find themselves in this jacket. Nancy Pangio, want to say something?
Well, I think most of you know I'm non-traditional. My story started, I went to a sewing club, and I started sewing clothes.
Would you speak into the mic so that...
There you go.
Sorry, I thought I was.
Fireman can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
My story started, I went to a sewing club, and I was sewing clothing. And the women kept saying and taunting me, "You need to make a quilt. You need to make a quilt." I didn't know the first thing about quilting, but I had a whole lot of teachers and a whole lot of supporters. And they thought I was going to make placemats. And I said, "Nope, my first quilting project is going to be an oversized queen quilt." And the fabric did call out to me, and I'm wild in nature, so it wasn't the traditional calm fabric. And I'll save Karen the trouble, but I had leftover fabrics, and I had a hole in the back. The back didn't fit right, so I made a whole big, huge block of what you see here. And this is a change also in the log cabin print. So then we moved on. They said, "Well, now you have to try a different pattern." Okay, so what did I try next? I tried the single Irish chain. And they went to the quilters and they said, what kind of pattern do you want to put on the quilt? When it's bound together, you have a wide myriad choice of what you wanted. And since the colors were so bright and I have the little fireworks on the side, I thought I'm going to get something playful. So if you come look at it later, you'll see that it looks like a fireworks or 4th of July pattern on there. And I didn't just use blue thread or red thread. I also have a variegated thread, which is also multicolored. So this quilt is just full of wow for me. So these were hard to do for a first-time quilter. So I've calmed it down a little bit. And I decided, well, I'm just going to try and make a pocketbook. And that just looked too tough for the time being. My girlfriend's birthday's the end of the month, so I had to do something quickly. And I decided to make her a little tote bag since she's a shopper. And she loves the Minions. She would marry one if it walked through the door. So I thought, okay, we're going on a cruise together and she's going to want to shop. So here's her tote. Now, as every quilter knows, and like Karen was saying, you do not throw away your scraps. And I've had my hand hit many times doing that. So I decided, okay, for scraps, I'm going to make something useful for the kitchen. And I took this scrap, and this is called a cozy. And what you do is you put your glass plates on it, and you put this in the microwave. And then when you're done cooking, you don't have to get the hot plate out or anything. You can just grab the corners and pull it out. So I made different sizes for different people. This one is for Mom, representing all the cruising at the anchors. And then for my girlfriend, I used my scraps and made the little Minions for her. So that's my quilting story.
Yeah.
Well, this quilt, I'm going to try to hold it up. I'm not going to open it.
You talk and I'll hold. Just like home.
This quilt was a wedding present to Tom and me 48 years ago. And I had said I wanted a lavender and blue bedroom back then. And my roommate in college, who was my best friend and a bridesmaid, gave us this quilt as our wedding present. And it's from the Catskill Mountains. So the ladies in the mountains quilted this. And I believe it's pansies.
Yeah.
I think it is. It's very pretty. It's got the nice fish. Yeah. This quilt dates back to 1840. My great-grandmother Schuyler made this. And it was passed down through the family. She was my father's grandmother. Schuyler County, after our family. This is, Nancy said, this is called
double wedding ring.
It is all hand-stitched. I don't know if you can see. It's scalloped around the edges. A lot of work went into this.
Yeah, beautiful.
And I keep this in my cedar chest. And I don't quilt. So I'm very appreciative of all of the talented and wonderful quilters that we have in this congregation. Thank you.
Miriam, do you want to say something about yours?
And then we'll get Barb next.
Oh, okay. You threw me a curve.
Threw me a curve too. I didn't expect this. But this is a gift to me from the Horseheads, First United Methodist Church. I used to play the piano there years ago. And this is their way of acknowledging what I did.
Oh, nice.
And this is a representative of what my grandmother. I was blessed with two wonderful grandmothers, and one was a seamstress. She sewed for a lot of people in the community, and she also made quilts. And this is just the part that would go over the pillows. And I look at these, and I think of some of the dresses that she made when I was growing up.
Oh,
Okay. I never could do it right.
This quote has great meaning to me because when I was expecting my first child, my grandmother made this front for me. And it was just for a single bed. And I was expecting, and I thought, I'm going to split it in half, and it's going to be for the cribs. So not knowing, back then you didn't know what you were going to have. Anyway, I took it apart, and I put it together, and we tied ropes, and we didn't do all the fancy stuff. So I took it apart, and I decided on the back of one, I put pink, and on the back of the other, I was going to do the blue. Well, this one didn't get worn as much because I had three girls and then a boy. It has great meaning to me because it comes from lots of love and lots of work.
Oh, you're going to let me have it? Gee, thanks, Mark.
Kathy Neely and then Ann Hayes.
Quilt that my grandmother Andrews gave me that she made for me out of clothes that they had. And she gave it to me when I went to college. I used it every single day. And I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd kept it in cedar chest. But the good news is I used it every day and it's all worn out on the edges. I'm not going to cry, no. And my grandmother taught me how to embroider. And this one is, pieces are embroidered. And back in the day, I don't think you necessarily, depending on how much money you had, you necessarily didn't have lots of different threads and things. So this is all one color of threads, and it goes through. My grandmother loved nature. And these we got from an Amish woman out in Indiana. And my mom and I took a trip. My brother had to have a quadruple bypass. And we bought these. And I didn't think when we bought these, I thought they were just silly little pot holders. And one of the things I think is interesting about today is that the memories and the stories and the emotions that go along with quilting, I don't know if you recognize it when you get whatever you get, but in retrospect, it seems to be there. And thank you to those of you who do quilt.
Annie, I'll get it.
Thank you. Let's pick up the first one, this one first. Yeah, this is a table topper, I call it, that my sister did for me right after my husband died in 1998. And I still use it almost every day, either on a table or on a chair or a sofa. I just drape it over it. But Linda Grimes did that one. Now, this is different. This is a recent one. Yesterday at the museum, we set up a quilt, one-woman quilt show. And the quilts are all made by Lydia Middaugh, who is the daughter of Lydia, who died this week. And she brought her quilts down from the North Country, and every quilt that is on display at the museum and will be there for the summer is as beautiful or more beautiful than this one. So I hope you can all come over and visit the historical museum on the, our own Big Flats Museum. This is all, she does a lot of applique work, and she does a lot of applique wool work. So all these little flowers and leaves are done with wool. And I think, Samara, you saw it after it was set up yesterday, didn't you? Isn't it beautiful?
Definitely worth seeing.
Oh, definitely worth seeing. So we're open Tuesday mornings, and we'll have Lydia there the second Saturday of May is her opening, and she'll be there to talk to anyone who wants to visit the museum during the pancake breakfast or after.
Oh,
let me read what she said about this one. Rarely do I use scrappy lights for a background, but the log cabin patches are a perfect backdrop. Let's see where that is.
The whites
are all the log cabin. Are the perfect backdrop for bold, richly colored patchwork and curving vines of blossoming wool, pomegranates, and berries. The pattern came from the book by Kim Deal, Simple Appeal. I enjoyed stitching the berries with elongated buttonhole stitches to give them a texture appeal. Pieced and quilted by Lydia Middaugh.
Thank you.
You can talk about yours. And then.
Oh, am I allowed to talk?
Yes, and Nancy.
Quickly. Yeah, it's got to be quick. Quilts do bring a lot of peace and quiet. I got, as Karen said, I got this as a just pieces of fabric all over the place. And on a Sunday afternoon when I get to want to watch a ball game, my cat will come right at the foot of my recliner and just stare at me until I put this quilt in my lap, and we have yet to make it past the first quarter. But also, the most peace I get out of quilting is when she's busy in her studio sewing, then I can have my coffee, I can read my book, I can listen to the news, and it's ever so peaceful.
Nancy can do that. She can speak right from where she is.
I started out very innocently moving from Orange County, New York, to Big Flats. I used to make flannel nightgowns and things like that. And then I thought I made a mistake by getting up early on a Wednesday morning. My daughter said, you've got to come. And there's a sewing group that meets at the Big Flats Community Center. I'll tell you, I went whole hog. Those women in that group would not leave me alone until I had a project. And in the projects, I said, oh my, what did I do? Next thing you know, they're there. Oh, that you did this, you did. Well, make a long story short, I made this quilt. It's a small one. But this one I make without any mistakes. The first one, my loving cat enjoys. Beautiful colors that I tried to quilt it myself. And I'm terrible at the actual underneath underline pattern. So this one I tied
with embroidery thread.
My initial first project was a table runner. I think I made about 34 million of them before I learned what I was doing. This is the first one, and this is Gordon, my representation of Gordon. But when you come from a place downstate, and you come up here, and the only people you know, your daughter and your son-in-law. I've been here a year and a half. And when I came into this church, the friendship, it was overwhelming. And it still is. I love you guys, and I'll be quilting maybe in another week or so for a big quilt. I wish myself luck.
So we have another man quilt. This one's mine. It was made for me by Fran Colombo. Maybe some of you know her. And it was for my service in Iraq. And what it has on the top in the center is E Pluribus Unum, right? The motto and seal of the United States, out of many, one. It has pieces of my uniform and brothers and sisters in the military from the area. In the center on the bottom is kind of my section, which is my rank and my The patches from the 98th Division and then from the multinational force in Iraq. And I believe on the bottom that would be, is that supposed to be an olive leaf? Does anyone know? Because if they're red, I don't know if olives are red when before they're ripe, but I assume that that was an olive. So absolutely beautiful. Had it on display in the house. It was just a wonderful gift. I was overwhelmed to receive something like that from someone. So very grateful and cherish it.
And it is hand
quilted. Joyce Dean, and then Marilyn Jenkins. These quilts were made by my mother. She had 23 grandchildren, and she made a quilt for each one and hand quilted them. I had two of them left, and I won't tell you why.
And this goes with it. And then Marilyn.
This is the quilt that Mother Jenkins made. I don't know how many years ago, but I was just first married, Artie and I was, and I only use it as a bedspread, and it's a star. That is what she made. Every bit of it is done by hand. She never used a sewing machine on none of her quilts.
Our last one?
That was a friend of mine giving me, but I thought I would bring it because it was so pretty.
That's called Lover's Knot. That pattern is called Lover's Knot.
As far as I'm concerned, quilts are made to be used, loved, and cherished, and keep you warm.
The absolute, I'm done, I won't say anymore. This was a gift to me when I retired from Greg School in June of 2000. And each member of the staff has fabric in it. And every time I use it and look at it, I feel as if I am being hugged by my friends. And thank you for bearing with us. We realize this is far longer than we planned, but somehow, this was wonderful having everybody share. Thank you.